Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 14 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. The arrival of Ivan Ogareff in the main Tartar camp was received by the prisoners of the Emir with mixed feelings. Blunt and Jolivet, the correspondents, felt that Ogareff would be the means of their release. On the other hand, Michael Strogoff knew that with the arrival of the traitor, his own problems were increased tenfold. Now the trumpet sounded, and the cannon roared in salutation, and over all the mighty camp was a stir of expectation and excitement. Ogareff had returned from Omsk, and now was joined the greatest, most colorful, and most hideously efficient army ever to be seen in eastern Siberia. Leaving his cavalry at the outskirts of the camp, Ogareff, still dressed in the uniform he'd so carelessly betrayed, walked boldly to the Emir's tent. There sat the chiefs and the advisers, removed in awe and silence from the rich divan on which the Emir waited for his most able lieutenant. The great beard curled over the golden armor. The heavy jewel-encrusted scabbard held his sword of damask steel. The priceless ornaments gleamed dully in the tent. As Ogareff made his way through the silent dignitaries, the Emir rose, and for a moment, his fierce eyes stared in the eyes of the Russian traitor.
Welcome, Ivan.
Sire.
I have no need to question you. Speak to me, and to my captains and my chiefs. Our ears are open.
Sire, this is what I have to tell you. It is not a time for unnecessary words, so I will not recount my deeds at the head of your own troops. The lines of the Ishim and the Irtysh are now in our hands. The Turkoman horsemen bathe their horses in those Tatar rivers. The Kyrgyz hordes rose at the voice of Feofar Khan, and the principal route from Ishim to Tomsk is yours. You can push on towards the sunrise or towards the sunset.
And if I march with the sun?
To march with the sun is to throw yourself towards Europe. It is to conquer rapidly the Siberian provinces of Tobolsk as far as the Ural Mountains.
So. And if I march eastwards into the sun?
Ah, that is to subdue Irkutsk and the richest countries of Central Asia.
But the armies of the Tsar?
You have nothing to fear from them, either from the east or from the west. The invasion took them by surprise and has triumphed everywhere. The Tsar's troops were overwhelmed at Kolyvan, and before they can be succored, the garrison at Irkutsk will also fall.
And what advice does your devotion to the Tatar cause suggest, Ivan Ogareff?
My advice is to march to meet the sun. It is to give the grass of the eastern steppes to the Turkoman horses to consume. It is to take Irkutsk, the capital of the eastern province, and with it to take a hostage as valuable as the Tsar himself, the Grand Duke, sire.
It will be done. We march on Irkutsk.
What are your orders?
Today our quarters must be removed to Tomsk.
I shall put them in train. There are many prisoners, both taken by your army and the forces under my command.
Arrange the marching plan and then return to me, Ivan. There are other matters which are close to my heart and which I would discuss with you. Leave me now.
Sire.
Colonel, there is a woman here who would speak with you.
Where?
Ivan.
Sangari.
Yes, Ivan. It is I.
Step aside with me. Well?
Nothing.
Nothing?
The old woman has not spoken. I have watched her night and day. She has not given a sign that her son is in the camp.
You are certain of that?
Certain.
Keep watching. Sooner or later, she may give her secret away.
Ivan, you have the means to make the old woman speak.
Not yet.
When?
At Tomsk.
When do we reach Tomsk?
In 3 days.
I will watch her.
I trust you.
I will not fail you, Ivan.
Go now.
I go.
Shoot them!
Hold there! Bring them to me.
Who are these men? They're not Russian.
They demanded to be taken into your presence, Colonel Ogareff. When permission was refused, they attempted to escape.
I see. Who are you, gentlemen?
Correspondents, representing English and French newspapers.
Naturally, you carry papers which will establish your identity.
Naturally.
Show them to me.
These letters accredit us in Russia. They were signed in the French and English chancelleries.
So. Well, they appear to be in order. You ask for authorization to follow our military operations in Siberia.
We ask to be free, that is all.
Release them. You are free, gentlemen. I shall be curious to read your articles in the Telegraph.
Sir, it is sixpence a number, including postage.
Good day to you.
Well, Monsieur Jolivet, what do you think of Colonel Ivan Ogareff, General-in-Chief of the Tatar troops?
I think we were fortunate in that they happened to be along at such an opportune moment. Also, our guards were disappointed that they were not allowed to kill us.
They were.
Thank you for handling the interview, Mr. Blunt. The sight of a Russian colonel going about his treacherous business in full view disgusts me so much that I'm afraid for my tongue.
Oh, tut, tut, Monsieur Jolivet. This is purely business.
You recognized him, of course?
Yes. The man who caught up with us at Ishim and who took Mr. Korpanov's horses.
The same. He did not recognize us, however, which is also fortunate.
And now, what shall we do with our liberty?
Take advantage of it immediately and go quietly to Tomsk to see what is happening there.
Yes, until we can rejoin some Russian regiment.
As you say, Mr. Blunt, it will not do to Tatarize ourselves too much. The best side is that of the most civilized army. And it is quite evident that the people of Central Asia have everything to lose and nothing to gain from this invasion. The Russians will win. It is only a matter of time.
Ah, the camp is beginning to break up already. It seems that we march to Tomsk.
We ride, Mr. Blunt.
Then let us obtain horses as quickly as possible.
Lead on, Mr. Blunt.
Delighted, Monsieur Jolivet.
The march has been organized, Ivan.
Yes, sire. We march direct to Zabediro and wait at the river until you are ready to receive us in your new headquarters in Tomsk itself.
We march direct?
Naturally, sire.
There is no water along the direct route. I am afraid a great number of the weaker prisoners will die.
Yes, it is likely.
A pity for the prisoners. Still, we cannot afford to leave our flank open to a Russian attack from the northern provinces.
That is unlikely. In any case, our scouts are riding wide on the northern flank. We would be well forewarned of an impending attack.
Excellent, Ivan. Come with me. I will give the order to march.
We are on the march to Irkutsk.
And there, the Grand Duke?
Yes, he will pay.
But the courier, if he should reach Irkutsk before us...
He will not.
Oh, if only we knew his identity.
It would have made the task easier.
He may even be among the prisoners.
He may be. His mother is here and you are watching her. If they should meet, you will know him. And then...
I will watch every minute of every day and every night. I shall not fail.
I have always trusted you, Sangari. You are worth another pair of eyes to me. When we reach Irkutsk, you will have your reward.
My reward is to be wherever you are. I go now.
Ah, sorry lot, these prisoners. I should not bother with them.
Most of them will be dead before we reach Irkutsk. The remainder will be useful for labor.
Those in chains are the ones considered most dangerous?
Yes, Russian officers mostly. They will have thought better of it within a week, if they live that long.
Get on there! Move! Move!
Hey, the Russian army.
We will be in Zebedilo by nightfall on the 15th of August.
On the following day, you will enter the city. I shall be there to receive you. Once there, we can plan the rest of the campaign eastward.
I shall wait in Zebedilo for your word, sire.
Yes. And now get the prisoners moving. We must spend no more than 3 days on the road.
Sire.
This man is wounded. He can't walk alone.
Then leave him.
I will not.
Then carry him until you drop. The wolves will whiten your bones in winter. Get on! Get on!
Can I reach Tomsk? Can I reach Tomsk? If I can, then I will escape from the Tatars. And you will pay for every terrible yard of this journey, Ogareff. If only I can reach Tomsk undiscovered. I must.
So begins the 3-day journey to the village outside Tomsk. Will Michael remain undiscovered and thus have a fighting chance to complete his mission? Great dangers and desperate trials lie in the way, and as yet, Michael has no fixed plan for escape. And what of Marfa, his mother? Will Ogareff use the horrible means at his disposal to make her divulge what she knows? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar.